Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. I'm your host, Jordan Boscarini. Back in the studio yesterday, we were at Smith's Ballpark in Salt Lake for Bees Media Day. That was definitely a lot of fun. Ran into some technical difficulties, but we're back in the studio today, and we got a loaded show for you. We're going to bounce all the way around. We're going to start with some high school football talk. Coach John Famalo of the Emory Spartan football team is going to join us. His first interview on the show as head coach of the squad. It was reported back on Monday that he received the job taking over for former coach Jim Jones. So Coach Famalo will join us on the show today. We'll also start preparing for the NFL draft. This is a cool story, and I'm really looking forward to this interview today. James Couser. He's a defensive end for my alma mater, Southern Utah. Set the FCS record for sacks and tackles for a loss. Projected to be anywhere from a third to a fifth round pick in the upcoming NFL draft. He's going to talk to us about the combine and the pro day, a little bit about his career, how he broke the record, and of course, Coach Ed Lamb at Southern Utah, who is now the assistant head coach for the BYU Cougars. Really looking forward to that interview. And then we've had a late switch in the schedule for the USU Eastern baseball team, originally slated to play Salt Lake Friday and Saturday in the final homestand of the year. Because of some worrisome weather coming in this weekend, those games have been moved to tomorrow and Friday. So Coach Madsen will step away from practice and join us. That's coming up in just a bit. Really packed show. Let's go ahead and take a look at the national sports scene. The Utah Jazz losing a heartbreaker last night to the San Antonio Spurs. 2-point setback. Where does that put the Jazz? A half game ahead of the Houston Rockets for the eighth and final playoff spot in the Western Conference. And the Jazz will have the next couple of days off before returning here on KOAL. Next outing will be against the Clippers on Friday, 7 p.m. start time in that contest. But it doesn't mean nothing pertains to the Jazz tonight because there's a full slate of games, and the Jazz can definitely use some help, to say the least. Let's take a look at the schedule in the NBA tonight. We get Cleveland and Indiana. That game is set for a 5 p.m. tip-off. Detroit at Orlando, Brooklyn at Washington, the Pelicans at the Celtics, and the Hornets at the Knicks. All of those games set in the 5 o'clock hour. Now, here's the big one. At 7:30 tonight, the Rockets and the Mavericks go toe-to-toe. Either which way, somebody's going to get a win here, and that's going to affect the Jazz in some capacity. The Jazz right now tied with the Mavericks in the win column, but a game behind them in the loss column. Then you look at the Rockets, the Jazz a game ahead of them in the win column, tied with the Rockets in the loss column. This is a very crucial game tonight as far as the playoff picture goes. Also at 8 o'clock tonight, we get Oklahoma City at Portland. This is another big game tonight, according to the Western Conference standings and where things are sitting. The Jazz trying to run down Portland. I'm not quite sure that's going to happen now, but it's still a possibility. The Jazz could use some help from Oklahoma City because they're not catching OKC. And then in the nightcap, the Lakers and the Clippers will go toe-to-toe. It'll be the final time that Kobe Bryant sees Chris Paul on the opposing bench. Last night, the Clippers running the Lakers out of the building. Rather sloppy, boring game. Once again, the Lakers blown out. Head coach Byron Scott definitely upset, said it's a shame that Kobe is ending his career with a team like this. That's basically what he said. It's not a direct quote, but he said something along the lines. So a full slate of NBA games also. So tonight, and again, the two to watch according to the playoff spot for the Utah Jazz, that's the Dallas and Houston game and then the Oklahoma City and the Portland game. Pack show again, Coach John Famalo, Coach Scott Madsen, and James Couser all coming up. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll get you a recap of the local sports scene. All of the scores from yesterday, we had baseball, softball, and soccer here in the Castle Country area. We'll get you caught up on that and then jump into the interviews. It's a Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports here on AM 750 and 103.9 FM.
Listening to the radio, driving in your car. Radio gets results. Radio is there no matter where you are. Radio gets results. When you need to get your message through, people really do listen to you. Coming through loud and clear. No matter what you're telling.
Reporting from the KOAL 103.9 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. The Carbon Title baseball team opened up Region 12 play on the road yesterday against the Canyon View Falcons in Cedar City, and the Dinos dropped both games. Losing the first one 13-6, Mitch Olson was charged with the loss on the hill for the Dinos. Falling in an early 4-1 hole, the Dinos were unable to recover. Despite the loss, the Dinos did hit the ball extremely well, finishing with 12 hits, again only scoring 6 runs off of those 12 hits. Cody Lowe hit one home run and also registered a double, while Jaden Flemmett registered a double. The second game of the doubleheader was very similar, Carbon falling in the second contest 18-7. Charged with the loss on the mound for the Dinos was Cole Fawcett. Carbon in the second game again registered 11 hits, but Canyon View, they registered 19. Henry Austin finished with a double. Cole Fawcett went yard for his first home run in league play and also knocked 2 doubles, attempting to help his cause. The game actually ran short because of the mercy rule. The Dinos will look to get back on the winning track as they continue the season Friday at home against Canyon View. It'll be the third and final meeting between the two teams this season. We stick with baseball but switch up schools, where yesterday the Emory Spartans dipped to 0-2 in league play as they suffered an 8-2 loss to the San Juan Broncos at home. Bryce Dugmore registered the loss on the hill for Emory as the offense was once again extremely bleak, registering just 3 hits. Emory scored 2 runs in the bottom of the third inning to keep things interesting, but San Juan pulled away by adding another run in the 5th and 2 more in the 7th. It has been a bit of a struggle for the Spartans so far this season. After losing 5 consecutive games, Emory got back in the win column with a 4-3 win over Union on March 29th. Since then, the team has suffered a 19-9 loss to Delta and an 8-2 setback to San Juan. Emory will look to get back on the winning track tomorrow. They'll take on Uinta for the second time this year. Uinta won the first meeting back on March 8th, 13-0. That was the season opener. The Carbon Lady Dinos ended a 4-game losing skid and improved to 1-1 in Region 12 play as they defeated the Richfield Wildcats yesterday by a final score of 4-0 on the road in Richfield. Kenley Nelson was the winning pitcher for Carbon. She recorded 14 strikeouts in the shutout win. Desi Lance and Shandell Nichols both recorded a double, while Kenley Nelson also notched a triple, helping her own cause. Carbon scored 4 runs in the opening inning, and the score remained the same throughout. The Lady Dinos will look to make it 2 in a row as they pause from league play to take on the Grand Red Devils. This game will be Thursday at home. Start time for it is scheduled for 3:30 p.m. The Emory Lady Spartans suffered their second loss in league play, this time falling to San Juan 15-14 on the road in Blanding. The game was a battle throughout, but San Juan scored 3 runs in the bottom of the 8th inning, which is an extra frame, to grab the 1-run win. Emory falls despite knocking 17 hits. The team did commit 10 errors in the field. Kelsey Reeve posted a team-best 5 RBIs in the loss for Emory, while Bailey Huggard knocked 4. Huggard was also charged with the loss on the hill. She went 4 innings, giving up 5 hits and 4 earned runs. The Lady Spartans will have a chance to get back on the winning track when they return to the field next week to take on Gunnison. This will be a home game, and it will start at 3:30 p.m. Again, that'll be Tuesday, April 12th. And the Emory boys soccer team won for the 4th time in league play this season as they knocked off North Sevier at home yesterday by a final score of 6-1. It was a dominating effort for Emory. With the score tied 1-1 at the end of the first half, Emory scored 5 unanswered in the second to roll away with the win. Ashton DeAle led the way with 2 goals. Caden Fox, Dallin Ward, Ethan Hunter, and Spencer Hadfield each notched a goal, finding the back of the net to give Emory the win. The Spartans will look to keep the momentum rolling as they play host to the Grand Red Devils tomorrow. Start time for that game is set for 4 p.m. And today on KOAL's Drive Time Sports, it'll be a football-packed show. You'll hear from new Emory Spartan football coach John Famalo. It was announced on Monday by Emory principal Larry Davis that Famalo would be the next head coach after former coach Jim Jones resigned last month. Also on the show today, we'll be joined by James Couser, former Southern Utah defensive end who set the FCS record for sacks and tackles for loss. Couser is currently preparing for the NFL draft, where he is expected to be anywhere from a third to fifth round pick. That'll all be on Drive Time Sports today, beginning at 4 p.m. on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 a.m. There's more news, sports, and community events at Castle Country Radio. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
I've been working with this old dude. He has to be in his 50s. He asked me one day why I was walking so funny. I told him that I've always had a bad back, but yesterday I must have pulled something. He stopped me and took me to the office to fill out an injury report. How crazy was that? Then he told me to go see the doctor and ask for a referral to Castleview Physical Therapy. I did what the old dude said. Castleview Physical Therapy helped me so that I don't walk funny. And now I can work without pain. I guess old dudes do rule. And so does Castleview Physical Therapy.
It's time to get your 2015 tax return done. This year, turn to Carbon Emory Tax in Price and Huntington, who've enjoyed helping people in Castle Country file their taxes since 1975. Chris Justice in Price at 637-2033 and Mark Justice in Huntington at 687-2192 know the new tax laws and health insurance requirements that you will need to file your return correctly. Tax laws change rapidly, and you need someone that stays current on these changes. For help with all types of returns, call Carbon Emory Tax at 687-2192.
Looking for some great entertainment? Find it right here in Price at the King Cole and Price Theaters. Checking out the latest movies is even easier. Just go to Price, THEATRE.com. See what's showing at which theater, as well as regular and matinee times and prices. Stay local and support local businesses this weekend by having dinner at a local restaurant and catching a movie at one of the theaters in Price. You'll be supporting local businesses that support you. Great entertainment is just a click away at PriceTheater.com. Check it out.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Coach's Corner here on Drive Time Sports, actually football edition of the Coach's Corner. We haven't had one of these in a long time. It was reported earlier this week here on Drive Time Sports that Emory High School has a new football coach stepping in for former coach Jim Jones. It'll be John Famalo. Now, Coach Famalo has spent 3 years on the coaching staff underneath Jim Jones. He'll assume the responsibilities immediately. A lot to get done in the spring season. A lot of people say, well, football's a ways off. It's almost a year-round sport. Joining us over the phone right now to talk about it, we have head coach John Famalo. Coach, it's been a while since we've had you on the show, but it's great to get you on. Congratulations on being named the new head coach.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Kind of exciting for me and new challenge, so appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, definitely. It is going to be a new challenge. First off, we'll talk about you being named the head football coach. Obviously, it was some sad news when Coach Jones, he announced his resignation. Obviously, he's kind of been a staple in the Emory Spartan football program. You know, you go through the record books and you look at what Coach Jones has really accomplished. I mean, it's sad to say goodbye to that era.
Oh, it is. Honestly, again, as a player and then also being sort of under him those last few years, it is sad to see him. He's a great coach. He knew quite a bit about the game and taught me quite a bit about it in the few years I was able to coach with him. And so, again, it's a sad era. Caught me a little bit off guard when I saw that he was leaving, but I hope him the best. And he left a wonderful legacy behind him, and a lot of kids that went through his program have nothing but good to say about him, including myself.
Yeah, it's fantastic, Coach. Fantastic to get on air and talk about the football team. You talked about that vast knowledge. When the job came open, when we talked to Principal Davis a couple of weeks ago, and he said, we're going to open up to those individuals on the staff because the continuity has been so great. I mean, obviously, you probably feel very confident taking over this job, knowing that the group of guys that you've been surrounded with, I mean, it's kind of like, it's very, I don't want to use the word safe, but I mean, it's so, the camaraderie is pretty special at Emory High School as far as the football program goes.
Oh, I agree. I mean, the assistant coaches, again, the whole process of who took over and who got assigned, you know, it's, for me, I wanted to keep it in-house. But those who worked under Coach Jones, and, you know, that was part of the reason I put in. And so having the guys that I'm hoping will continue to surround me, Chris, Morty, Scott Labrum, Russ Wilson, a lot of those guys that, again, they've been players under Coach Jones, keeping a little bit of that continuity. Again, there's no reason to change things when things are going good. You know, you've got things going on the right track, I feel, and, you know, there's no reason that we need to change a whole lot and change our, you know, schemes and things like that to continue to be successful.
You told me off air Coach Jones taught you an awful lot during your 3 years under him as an assistant coach. Well, what do you mean by that, Coach? What are some of the things that you picked up under Coach Jim Jones?
Most of all from him is just, again, the vast knowledge that he had of X's and O's. Like I say, I thought I understood football pretty well, but honestly, when I started coaching under him, I figured out how little I did know about schemes and other things and game planning. Everything's that way, and that honestly has helped me. I'm not even close to probably where I need to be or, you know, where he was at. And so there's a little bit of a learning curve that I'm still going to have to pick up. But like I say, with the assistance and the hopefully people I can surround myself with will hopefully help continue success that way. So.
When you got the news that you were the new Emory football coach, what was that feeling like?
Honestly, nervousness. That's really what it comes down to. Again, there's some big shoes to fill with Coach Jones. That's a wonderful legacy, and to be able to step in and to kind of pick up where he left off, you know, that's a big task. And so for me, it's like, you know, what's the next step? Never been a head coach. You know, like I say, I'm familiar with football. I've done it for a lot of years, different levels, but so it's a different animal for me. So a little bit of nervousness, but excitement at the same time. That a new challenge, and say hopefully the kids are excited. I don't have a chance to talk to them yet, but that's kind of where I'm at. Those kind of excitement, nerves going on in my right now.
You know, it wasn't that long ago that we said goodbye to Coach Dave Parr at the junior college level here in town. And again, he had been the girls' basketball coach for so long. Chelsea Warburton comes along. I believe she was underneath Coach Parr for about 3 years. And talking to her this season, she said the same thing. Such big shoes to fill. She implements a lot of Coach Parr's, you know, a lot of his X's and O's, a lot of his mentality. But there's something about it that's also hers as well. I mean, as far as what we have seen on the field over the past, you know, 10 years with Coach Jim Jones's running style, how much of that will you implement, and how much of that do you plan on changing?
Well, honestly, like I say, there's no reason to change something that's working. We led the state in rushing the past few years. We've had kids in the top in the state in rushing, and to change that whole scheme, you know, I don't think it's necessary. Certainly, sitting down with the coaching staff, I think there's some things that we can add to our own little wrinkles to be able to, you know, make it our own in a sense, but honestly, 90% of what he's done, I don't see us changing a whole lot that way.
Again, our guest right now is John Famalo. He's the new head coach of the Emory Sport and Football team. And we talked to Principal Davis about this a couple of weeks ago. A lot of people say football in April. I mean, really, it's a ways off, but it's not. I mean, there's a lot of work that needs to be done.
Well, that's it. I mean, I think this is probably the longest season, the shortest amount of games, but the season, I think, is the longest for the fact that there's a lot that goes into it, preparation-wise for the kids, for the coaches, to kind of get them ready. I think one of the toughest sports to coach for the fact that, I mean, there's a lot of kids and there's a lot of positions and a lot of things you got to keep in mind as you do that. And so things like it starts, you know, June and goes on until, you know, November is hopefully where we're wanting to be, but it's a long season and getting started in April, and, you know, I'm excited to get started, truthfully.
Yeah, it's a brand new era. It's kind of a venture into the unknown. As far as the team goes, this is a squad that I know Coach Jones was excited about building. A couple of years ago, we took our lumps. We had a lot of freshmen. We had a lot of sophomores playing at the varsity level. A lot of those kids now are juniors and seniors. So from a maturity standpoint, I mean, this has been pegged as an exciting season, one that we've been looking forward to for a couple of years.
Oh, it is. I mean, this is one I think Coach Jones is looking forward to. I think his coaching staff are all looking forward to, for the fact that, again, we've got a lot of kids that have some experience, kids that have started since they were, you know, sophomores. And so, you know, that excitement of the kids coming back, the experience that we have, the knowledge that the kids have, you know, I think it's, going to hopefully make that transition a little easier for me and for the coaching staff, for the fact that we have a lot of kids that have some experience and know how to play and know the expectations. And I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Coach, I definitely appreciate you taking out the time. Congratulations on being named the head coach, and hopefully we can talk to you again real soon. I'm definitely looking forward to it.
Hey, thanks, Jordan. Appreciate it.
Definitely my pleasure. Thank you, Coach. That's John Famalo, new head coach of the Emory Spartan football squad. The first of hopefully many appearances here on Drive Time Sports. A new era of Emory Spartan football. It'll get underway in 2016. It'll be the final year of the current classification with the 3A, the 3AA. We completely will go through a realignment following this season. So Coach Famalo taking out the time to join us on the show today. We've got to pause for just a moment. When we return, we're going to stick with football. We're going to flip between college and the NFL and bring in James Couser. Now, if you're unfamiliar with that name, hopefully you'll get very familiar with it here in the coming season. Couser just completed his career at Southern Utah University, where he set the all-time record for sacks and tackles for a loss under head coach Ed Lamb. After completing his senior year, Couser is now set for the NFL draft. He's projected right now to go anywhere between rounds 3 and 5. He's going to join us on the show. We'll talk about his career at Southern Utah, which ended with a Big Sky Conference championship, and also the preparation going into the NFL draft. That's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
There are few things that are as smooth as a drive to the basket for 2 points.
Bailey breaks Lucondo's ankle, drives for 2 fouls and 1.
Experience that same feeling off the court in your automobile with a trip to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell. J&D Auto is number one in parts and service. So if your car is running rough and you need a diagnosis, or if you're in need of one specific part to finish the job yourself, head to J&D Automotive in Castle Dell.
Some people like long drives to spend more. Others like to shop local for a great deal every day at Tony Basso GM. You'll get the best price or get $500.
Hi, this is John Duras, Fleet and Internet Sales Manager at Tony Basso GM. I'm a lifelong resident of Bourbon County with nearly 40 years of sales and customer service experience. Check us out at TonyBassoGM.com. Call or text me at 650-7444.
The best price, a great deal locally every day at Tony Basso GM.
No one should be forced to take a mouth vacation alone. That's why Arby's is selling 2 new Greek euros with seasoned beef or turkey for only $6. Now your mouth and your best friend's mouth can both go to Greece together for $6. Arby's, we have the meat.
Limited time only. Prices may be higher in Alaska and Hawaii.
The Johnson family had a savings account until their air conditioner died. The Martins had a vacation fund before their water heater quit. The Baileys have no savings and their refrigerator just broke. The truth is, it can only take one home system or appliance repair to break your piggy bank. But buying a home warranty from American Home Shield can protect your budget against unexpected covered costs. For valuable free information, go to AHS.com or call 1-800-936-3026. Why pour money into repairs when American Home Shield will help pay covered repairs for you? Your air conditioner, plumbing, oven, refrigerator, water heater, and more. The choice is yours. Pay for expensive home system and appliance repairs, or let AHS help pay covered repairs for you. If you want to avoid being hit hard by unexpected breakdowns, go to AHS.com for valuable free information, including terms, rates, and coverage. That's AHS.com or call 1-800-936-3026. Again, that's AHS.com or call 1-800-936-3026.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Golden Eagles.
We're back here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 103.9 FM and 750 AM. Just got finished talking with Emory Spartan football coach John Famalo. And again, you can get the complete write-up, and you can also check out the archived interview with Coach Famalo at CastleCountryRadio.com. But since we talked high school football, I think it's only fitting that we move in and start talking college/NFL. Now, the draft is set for April 28th. That's a Thursday, April 28th. And one school in Utah that is getting a whole lot of pub around the NFL draft, and it's kind of out of the norm, that's Southern Utah University. Typically, we're talking about the Utes and the Cougars and the Aggies, but Southern Utah has about 2 to 3 players that are actually on draft boards right now. It'd be a record for that school. One of those players in particular set the all-time FCS record for sacks and tackles for loss, and he's joining us right now over the phone. We have Southern Utah defensive end James Couser. James, first off, great to get you on today. I really appreciate the time.
Yeah, I'm super excited for this. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Hey, it's crunch time for you. We're going to talk about your career at Southern Utah here in just a bit, but now you're getting set for the NFL draft. I know you've had the combine, pro day, all that good stuff, and now we're just a few weeks away from the NFL draft. What a fun time for you personally, I'm sure.
It's been a ride. It's been crazy. It's been like every emotion ever, and it's just been fun. It's the dream. It's what I've been thinking about since I was a little kid.
Your career at Southern Utah, I mean, you cap it off by winning a Big Sky Conference championship. First off, did you ever think that you would be a part of a team at Southern Utah that would bring the first Big Sky championship to the school?
It was always on my mind. I mean, we were always, like, setting that goal as far as possible. Like, you never know when the cards were going to fall. So when it actually happened, it was an unbelievable feeling.
You guys definitely had your fair share of close calls throughout the year. The defense is getting a lot of love right now at Southern Utah, to say the least. I mean, Miles Kilbrew is another one that we expect to get his name called come draft day. So we may have two guys on the defensive side of the ball at Southern Utah selected to the NFL draft. That's fantastic.
Yeah, even LaShawn Sims is looking at a pretty draftable grade right now, too. There's probably going to be three.
Right. I'll be honest with you, James. I never thought, at least here, you know, relatively, so that we would see this happen at Southern Utah. I think it speaks wonders to Coach Ed Lamb, but you guys, you took the opportunity and you ran with it. I mean, it's fantastic. A lot of pub for Southern Utah football.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we put a lot of work. We've been working together, us three, for like 4 years now, you know what I mean? Just running hills, doing footwork, doing all that extra stuff. This is what we dreamed about, and it's kind of coming to fruition right now.
Yeah, let's talk about your individual accolades as you leave Southern Utah. First off, Big Sky Defensive Player of the Year, FCS all-time leader in sacks and tackles for a loss. That's a pretty hefty resume.
It's kind of cool how things worked out like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, going into your senior campaign, was that the expectations that you had set, or did this even surpass your wildest expectations?
Oh, wildest pass for sure. Like, I did not think going into my freshman year I was going to be the all-time sack leader of FCS or TFL. Like, I was just looking to make the team and help us win, honestly. It was kind of crazy how it just, like, you know, hard work, being around good people, doing the right thing works out. Like, people say it does.
Well, I'll tell you, and this may be odd, but from a Southern Utah alum, I was so excited to watch you play in the East-West Shrine Game. I mean, typically we're talking about the Utah Utes, we're talking about the Utah State Aggies. There were only like a half a dozen players from the FCS that were invited to the East-West Shrine Game. You actually made an impact in the fourth quarter. I think you played roughly 30 snaps in that game. I was so stoked to see a Southern Utah guy in the East-West Shrine Game. What was that experience like for you?
It was a fun experience. It was crazy. The East West Shrine Game, like, they do it really well, and it's fun. Like, the best part's going to the hospital with the kids. That's easily the best part. But then it's, like, business. It really is. Practice is intense. Off the field is intense because there's scouts everywhere trying to talk to you, meet with you. So, I mean, it's a roller coaster ride as well.
Yeah, as far as All-Star games go, the Pro Bowl, not a lot of people have a lot of interest in the Pro Bowl, and I try to get this through people's mind. College is not like that. I mean, this is a showcase for you guys, so you are playing extremely hard in these games.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially in practice, too. That's really where, like, the microscope is on you, and people are looking at you in the practice the week before.
As far as the draft grade that you've been given after the combine and the pro day, where do you expect to fall in this NFL draft, or have you even thought about that?
People always tell me middle round, but that's kind of just what I hear. I'm just looking to go somewhere. I'm looking for my shot, honestly. People always ask me, where do you want to go? Where do you want to, you know, what team do you want to play for? My answer is the same every time. Like, it doesn't matter. Just give me the opportunity. Let me go play.
Watching the East-West Shrine Game, Mike Mayock, who I definitely respect a lot, great football analyst, compared you to Jared Allen. He said, this is an interesting cat. I remember the quote. He said, this is an interesting cat. Compared you to Jared Allen. What a comparison, right?
Oh, it's crazy to me when people say that. Like, I watched him play for years. And for people to say you're even somewhat similar, it's a super big compliment.
well, you watched him play for years. Is that one of the many, or is that the player that you looked up to growing up? I mean, who kind of set the tone for you as a kid?
I think you hit the nail on the head, for that. But when you said one of the many, like, I like to watch everybody. You know what I mean? I've been watching Jared Allen. I've been watching, like, even Connor Barwin from the Eagles. Clay Matthews back when he was an outside backer rushing, you know what I mean? I just try to piece together everything I can and just do what I can instead of initially modeling after one person.
Give me your best fit. Would it be playing outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme? Would you prefer to play a defensive end out of a 4-3? I mean, what fits best for you?
I think that's something I can do. I can do it both. I know the 3-4 teams have kind of been a little more excited about me as I've talked to them. But, I mean, even with that being said, I think I could do it as a DN, too. So I just have to add a little more weight, that's all.
Yeah, I definitely think you have the speed, absolutely. You run a 4.8 40 at the Combine. Not too shabby there. What were some of the oddball interview questions that you were asked by teams? Did anyone ask you a question that kind of threw you off a little bit?
I get asked this a lot because there's been, like, a lot of hype about the oddball questions. I didn't get any. Everything was pretty chill. I think everyone was kind of like trying to be careful. They didn't want to get in trouble this year. So I just got some pretty normal questions. You know what I mean? Just ask about who I am.
I want to ask you about coming back following your mission. Now, you're 25 years old. I've always been of the mindset that when a kid comes back from his mission, first off, his body is more mature. But aside from the body, how you can grow mentally on your mission, I'm sure that played a big factor into where you are today and maybe even to the records that you managed to break at the FCS level. I mean, is that a fair assessment?
I think so. I think that's exactly right. Like, I came back really light. I came back at 205 because I went to China, so I just ate rice and vegetables the whole time. But coming back, trying to get back to 250, the playing weight, like you said, I mean, I was a lot better at setting goals, a lot better at taking things seriously. I think that only helped me.
You know, you played for Coach Ed Lamb, who was monumental in turning the Southern Utah football program around. He's in a great position now, taking the assistant head coaching job at BYU with Kalani Sitake. Really sad to see Coach Lamb leave. I'll be honest, I'm shocked that Coach Lamb was at Southern Utah for as long as he was, to be honest. But to see Coach Lamb go, what was your initial thought on that?
Kind of saw it coming. You know what I mean? Like, Coach, like you said, everyone just kind of was hoping he'd stick around as long as he could. Because, you know, he's a fantastic man. Like, beyond what he is as a coach, he's just, like, a great guy. And so you knew someone was going to come and just pick him up. And so I was just kind of hoping he'd last through my career, honestly.
James, I want to ask you about the pro day and the combine. What are the nerves like? Do you think about technique? Do you try to think about, your form? Or do you just go out and play?
I was trying to think about my technique and trying to, like, figure out how I can best do it like that. Combine's far more intense than pro day, that's for sure. It's a long 4 days of the combine. It's an exciting 4 days. It's just a crazy experience. But then pro day's just kind of like, it's your backyard. It's, all right, this is what I've been doing for 4 years. Let's just go out and rip it.
Have you talked to anybody in the NFL, be it a coach, a general manager, or another player that you've kind of been starstruck with?
A little bit. His name's, I totally slipped his name. The guy from the Patriots, worst 50, the big beard.
Rob Ninkovich?
Ninkovich! Yeah, Rob Ninkovich.
Okay.
When I was talking to him, I couldn't believe it. Like, it was beyond me. I can't believe I forgot his name. Like, I love watching him play. And so when I got an opportunity to talk to him, it was crazy.
What did he tell you?
Oh, he had a lot of really good things to say. You know what I mean? Most of it was just like, what I took from it was believe in yourself. Because, I mean, he had a kind of a rough journey coming up. He was drafted not where he wanted to be. He didn't really get the shots that he wanted. He was cut a couple times, but he kept believing, and now look what he's doing. So when he was saying, he's like, no one in the world believes in me but me. And so I was able to make it happen. So he said, for like, no matter what, believe in yourself and just work hard.
With that being said, do you feel that you're somewhat of an underdog coming from an FCS school opposed to an FBS where the majority of the players are selected? Does that play into, you know, the combine, the pro day, and the interview? Is that a question that you've been asked?
Of course. A small school is definitely something that people think about. But, I mean, once you start, like, running with everybody and playing football, like, they forget where you're from and they just see a football player. So, I mean, at first when you're talking to people, they're like, oh, small school guy. they kind of look at you like that, so you do have that underdog. But then when you start playing, they go, oh, whoa, you really can play. All right, let's go.
Former Southern Utah football player James Couser joining us over the phone as he prepares for the NFL draft. James, you're also going to be featured on Game Changers, which is a TV segment for NFL Network. This is actually pretty neat. I'm looking forward to watching you.
Dude, like, I wasn't really sure what to expect going into it, but like Steve Mariucci, William McGinnis were like really upbeat, like really into it coaches. It was just like a good time. You know what I mean? They were like pretty intense on the drills that we were doing. They really wanted us to do them like as best we can and get us better. It was just a fun time just to like be around some really good players and really good coaches.
Have you learned anything from your experience on Game Changers, and if so, what?
That's a really good question. I think I learned, like, because I was surrounded by big-name people, you know what I mean? Like Shaq Lawson, Shalit Calhoun, Robert Kendici, like those are the people with me. And it's just like this sort of thing. Once I get going, it's one of the guys. Like, small school doesn't matter. That's something I was kind of learning.
We'll end with this. I think this is a great question to end with. So you get selected into the NFL. James Couser, there's the snap. He comes around the far side. Any quarterback in the NFL right now, you could sack. Clean shot on that QB. Who's it going to be?
Oh, I've been asked this a couple times, and I always say, like, it doesn't matter because it really doesn't, but I think maybe, like, I want to go for a big-name guy. You know, like a Tom Brady, you know, Aaron Rodgers, maybe Eli Manning. Just someone, like, with a big name. That's what I'd want to say.
I respect Tom Brady. I think he's the greatest. I think he's the greatest that's ever played the game. I want to see a Southern Utah alum pop Tom Brady in the backfield for a loss. That's what I want to see.
Hey, I'd love to see that too.
James, hey, it's been so much fun to talk with you. I don't want to take any more of your time. I know you're a busy guy, but again, it was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
We're going to pause for just a moment. When we come back, we'll flip back over to the local sports scene because we have a change in times for the USU Eastern baseball games this weekend. Final homestand of the year, originally scheduled for Friday and Saturday. Because of the weather, those dates have changed. It's now tomorrow and Friday. Coach Scott Madsen will join us to recap what happened last week and talk about this week's set of games, which is the final homestand of the year. We're going to wrap up Drive Time Sports with another Coach's Corner here in just a moment.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Remember these days of the week. Why? Monday through Thursday, KFC and A&W have daily specials for only $3.99. Monday is the Papa Burger. Tuesday, Country Fried Steak. Wednesday, Chicken and Corn. And of course, Thursday, the famous Chicken Pot Pie. Choose your favorite day of the week, and lunch is only $3.99. At this price, you can even take your coworker to lunch. KFC and A&W, lunch is done.
Do you hear that? The birds singing, trees rustling, and the roaring engine of ATVs hitting the trails. Now that this spring fever is here, I'm ready to hit the trails with the family and blaze through the hills and mountains having a blast. Desert View Federal Credit Union has affordable ATV and RV loans with low interest rates, so our spring recreation fund doesn't have to wait. What better way to spend your spring than riding your new ATV? Thanks to Desert View's great ATV and RV loans.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
Hi, I'm Casey Quinn with Tatton and Meller Insurance. We all know the best game is a combination of the players, the X's and O's, and the end score. Your insurance also requires these same elements. The players, you and I, the X's and O's, your coverage, and the end score, your peace of mind. The playbook consists of many different options. As the trusted choice independent insurance agent, we have the options you need with multiple carriers to make sure your game is where you want and need it to be. Give me a call today, 435-637-1848.
My name is Mike Zamantakis. I would say if somebody asked me about going to Parkdale, I highly recommend it to anybody that needs any kind of therapy. They're very, very good. They're very concerned. Couldn't say enough good words about Parkdale Therapy. They got Brody and Shell is the one that worked on me most of the time. They're very concerned. They do a very good job. They'd come and get me from my room and take me up there. I told the people down at Parkdale that undoubtedly the therapy they did on me made my recovery probably twice as fast.
We have a great team, great facility, and we're getting great results. Come to Parkdale.
Hello, boys and girls.
Ah!
Need a sports fix? Tune in to KOAL AM 750 and 103.9 FM, the home of Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini, from 4 to 5 p.m. and Sports Byline with Ron Barr from 8 to 11 p.m. Monday through Friday. KOAL is also the play-by-play home of Emory High, USU Eastern, the Utah Jazz, Utah Utes, and NASCAR Sprint Cup Series Racing. KOAL News, Talk, Sports in Eastern Utah.
This is Nick Tropiano with the Salt Lake Bees, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Here comes a comeback. The kid is back, back on track.
Back for this final segment of Drive Time Sports here on KOAL 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM. We have a last-second change. The USU Eastern Golden Eagles getting set for their final homestand of the season on the baseball diamond. They're going to end the year with five straight weeks of road games. This weekend set originally scheduled for Friday and Saturday. Due to a potential weather on Saturday, the games have been moved to tomorrow and Friday. So that's going to be the final homestand for USU Eastern tomorrow and Friday. Joining us to talk a bit about that and what happened last week with the squad, we have Coach Scott Madsen. Coach, great to get you back on today. Thank you.
Jordan, it's good to be back.
Coach, we're going to talk about this week's games. I know there's a little bit of a schedule change, so we'll get to that in just a second. But first, we got to talk about the most recent outing. You guys play host to Colorado. Again, this was supposed to be on the road. Weather moved it here to Price. You guys lose the first two games, but you fight back and you win two closely contested games on Saturday.
We did. You know, we just came out really flat on Friday, and we preached all week about how we couldn't make mistakes and give them second chances, and boy, we gave them every chance they wanted to win that first day games. And then the second day, they decided they want to play and really came out and did a good job all the way around.
Obviously, I mean, I could ask you a dumb question on what this actually means to the team to pick up two wins against Colorado. The grand scheme of things, you guys are still right in the thick of it as far as that number three spot goes. And I keep bringing up the number three seed, Coach, every week when we talk. I mean, that seems to be the most realistic goal right now, isn't it?
Yeah. Western Nevada lost 3-0 Southern, so they're kind of running away with it a little bit that way. But 3 is the next closest that we're capable of getting, I feel like. And with, you know, 2 wins against Colorado, that was a good team that came and played us. And there's a reason they're where they are right now. And they've really improved. Their number one guy, I knew we couldn't score a lot of runs on him. He's only been beat one time in conference, and that was Southern Nevada. I feel like we did a good job of putting up runs against him and hits, but we just gave them too many opportunities. I mean, he pitched his way out of a couple of innings there that, man, we were ready to just blow it open, and he did a really good job of controlling us.
You know, as far as league play goes, the lowest amount of runs that you guys have scored to get a win in league play is 6. Is that enough to make you feel comfortable scoring 6 runs, or do you think, you know, realistically you're going to have to score more around 7, 8, 9?
You know, what I've preached to my kids is if we're going to give up 10 runs, you got to score 12. That's kind of what the whole idea. And, you know, we could be somebody with 6, and it just seems like every time we're within 1 or 2 runs, we come back and won those games. So that's what our goal is, to kind of keep it. The ultimate goal in the 7 is 3 or less runs, and in a 9, it's usually 5 or less. So, I mean, with that being said, 6 would be wonderful if we could get 6 every time. But, you know, it's just a matter of where we are in the game, too. We get those big innings and seem to kind of collapse of sort to as hitters. We come in and it takes us a while to kind of get that momentum back and get going again. But when they do, boy, they can put up a ton of runs in a short amount of time.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of been the thing, the reoccurring theme with this team. Coach, you dropped the first two games on Friday. Worst case possible. I mean, I know you're always able to come out and get at least 3 at home, especially against a team like Colorado. But for the guys to battle back and win the last two, did you sense some urgency from this team, maybe something that was missing on Friday?
Yes, I did. You know, and we had a talk after the game on Friday. I flat out told them, I kept waiting for somebody to walk out and say, hey, April Fools, we're really just not playing games today, because that's what it seemed like as a coach standing there. But Saturday, they came out and they just have that desire from the beginning that they were going to win, and they kept after it. And, you know, our pitchers, we gave up 3 early that first game and battled back. We did a good job and ended up winning an extra inning, and that just boosted us even more. So, I mean, it was really good, the desire and drive they had on Saturday. And all our talk this week is we've got to learn to bring that on Friday now.
Well, Caden Longman gets the win. I believe, if I remember correctly, Longman got the win for you guys in the second game of the set, if I remember right. Coach, he went about five innings for you guys, only gave up about two or three hits. I mean, ideally, you're not going to get a whole, you can't ask for a whole lot more, can you?
No, you know, and he's been solid for us all year long, getting through a lot of innings, and he's kind of battling through some back issues, so we've kind of tried to keep him the best we can, but he's actually going to go game one this weekend for us, and he's done a good job controlling his second and third pitches as far as his curveball, and he throws a little changeup in there, but you know what, he's been solid for us and gave us a good opportunity to win, and we saw on Saturday what happens when they keep those guys down. We'll go out and put up runs for him.
Any difference in the 7-9 innings yet? Have you noticed more of a comfort zone yet?
No, not really. I mean, we've done good. We've had a lot of pitchers step up in the later innings and kind of keep it within, and that's kind of what we have to do. And I mean, that 17-6 score was one of those things that I'm just throwing people out there real quick just to make sure we get through the game. When it's that far out of control, we just don't want to waste anybody. And then it worked out well on Saturday because then we had two or three starters that threw all on Saturday.
Again, our guest right now, Coach Scott Mattson of the USU Eastern baseball team. Now, Coach, it's the beginning of April, and already we're talking about the final homestand because of some scheduling changes. This week, Salt Lake, actually tomorrow and Friday, not Friday and Saturday. The schedule has changed a little bit, but this will be the final time that people in the local community can get out and watch this team without making a journey. 5 weeks straight, you guys are going to go on the road after this weekend.
Yeah, you know, we're not looking forward to this, but these kids just wanted to play, and that's what, ultimately, that's the whole goal, is we got to get these games in, and apparently they're supposed to be rain coming on Saturday. And this is Salt Lake that's just one game ahead of us right now, and we really want a shot to beat these guys because we feel like we can at least go 2-2 with these guys, if not better.
The last time you guys went toe-to-toe with Salt Lake, they pitched two shutouts, and an 8-0 loss and a 10-0 loss, but you guys did have a lot of success against them as well. You scored 6 runs in the win, you scored 15 runs in another loss. You're not going to lose too many games scoring 15 runs, so based off of that first series, the confidence level and what you know about Salt Lake, where is that sitting?
You know, we're a night and day different club than when we played them the first time. I feel like our pitching is better controlled, and our hitters all together, I mean, that was their second week of seeing live fastballs while being outside. So we were still getting settled. There's a few guys trying to figure things out, and I feel like now as a hitting team, we've improved. I mean, it's as well as a team can improve. And we've had different guys coming through and battling for us each weekend. And like last weekend, Brandon Eyring stepped up in that second day and really did a good job. And he's been struggling all year. So it's just one of those things that as a team, they got to come together and really concentrate on where we're hitting the ball. We're not a home run team staying through the middle and getting base hits. And that's kind of the things that have changed a little bit is there. They were just trying to beat Salt Lake. They didn't really have an approach. They were going in there and kind of hacking away. And now they've really stuck with an approach, and it's worked well for them.
Do you feel, Coach, you mentioned just a minute ago, it's a night and day difference where this team was the first time you guys played Salt Lake to where you're sitting at right now. And, of course, this will begin the final go-round of conference play. You always play for that third season, and that third season being the conference season. Are you seeing more progress this year at this time of the year than maybe in past seasons?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, these guys came out, and they've won some big games early, and it's when we leave that weekend, every weekend we've left, they've felt like it wasn't enough. They felt like they should have walked away with more wins. They could have if they had just done this and this and played a little bit better. And, you know, now they're putting in that time. They're really improving, and it hasn't stopped. Each day they come out and they work as hard as they can, and they're really doing things because they know the next time around that they're not going to let those things that happened the first go-around happen again for us to lose.
You know, you and I have talked about Colorado and how much they have improved. I think sometimes we expect to improve here at USU Eastern. We really haven't talked about it. True testament to that, you guys have 7 wins. You're in 5th place right now in the conference. Coach, in years past, 7 wins would put you in the 4 or 3 spot.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of the battle with Salt Lake and CSI. It's a grind this year, and we feel like we've improved a lot. And Salt Lake, I mean, they're still a good team. I'm not looking past them by any means, and for us to come and be within one game of those guys and 2 games of Colorado in that next spot is just kind of a different season for us. But I feel like we have improved. We've got some good players in here that are more consistent than we've had in the past.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a fun ride so far, Coach. Final homestand this weekend. You guys also have somewhat of a special day planned this weekend as well. I definitely want you to mention that.
We do. On Friday, we're going to have a Law Enforcement Appreciation Day and the ambulance, too, where they get in free. Everybody comes there. The Institute is supposed to come between games and feed everybody, so there's free hot dogs and hamburgers then. And then there's another special thing we're doing where we're putting an honorary person on our team. His name is Jace Marietti. And he just had a rough time with his disease he's going through, and he's been a good friend of mine, and he's a huge fan of baseball and the law enforcement, so we're going to do something big for him, and we'd really appreciate to get the support out on Friday where we start at 1.
Yeah, definitely. Again, Friday, 1 o'clock start. Make sure to get out and support the USU Eastern Golden Eagles. Coach, such a late change in the schedule going into the week. I mean, does this alter anything that you have planned?
Not really. I mean, I wish I would have had another day of hitting to go through some things, but I feel like my kids are ready, and when I told them that, they were all excited to get after them as soon as they could. So, you know, I feel like we're ready, and we're looking forward to them coming into our place.
Coach, I always appreciate you taking out the time to join us. I know you have practice going on right now, so thank you for stepping away, and best of luck this weekend.
Thank you, Jordan.
That's Coach Scott Mattson again talking about the switch in the schedule for USU Eastern. They're at home tomorrow and Friday as they take on Salt Lake Community College. We are out of time on this edition of the show. I want to thank Coach Mattson, Coach Famalo, and of course James Couser, who took some time out of his busy schedule preparing for the NFL draft to join us on the show. More college football chit-chat tomorrow. Coach Kyle Whittingham of the Utah Utes will be on to talk about spring practice so far for the Utes. That'll be tomorrow, 4 to 5. Right here on KOAL. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. I'm out.
From Charlotte to Daytona, Talladega, and beyond, follow the NASCAR Sprint Cup Series on 103.9 FM and 7:50 AM KOAL.